I thank the gentleman for yielding. I rise to speak in favor of S-178, the Uyghur Act. This bill has the best of both worlds. It has a Senate bill number and House of Representatives content. The bill came over from the Senate, and then we unanimously adopted in the Foreign Affairs Committee my amendment in nature of a substitute, which put together three bills focused on the Uyghur issue. It included the work of Senators Marco Rubio and Robert Menendez, found in S-178. The work found in H.R. 649 of Chris Smith and Tom Suozzi of this House, and the legislation that I reintroduced with the ranking member of the Asia Subcommittee, Ted Yoho, H.R. 1025. So this bill represents putting together those three bills to deal with the detention of over 1 million Uyghurs and other Muslim minorities in Xinjiang and other Chinese repression of its Muslim minority population. The Chinese government has sought to erase the distinct Uyghur Muslim culture and religious traditions through mass detentions, re-education camps, and a coordinated campaign under a banner, Strike Hard Against Violent Extremism, launched in 2014. Thanks to recently leaked Chinese Communist Party documents, we now know that the impetus for this campaign came from the highest levels of the Chinese Party. In April 2014, General Secretary Xi ordered the party officials to, and these are the words, show absolutely no mercy in using organs of dictatorship, another quoted phrase, to suppress Muslim minorities. More than a million Uyghurs were then imprisoned in camps. In a country with the rule of law, you're incarcerated by the state because you've been convicted of a defined statutory offense. Why are 1 million people behind barbed wire in Xinjiang province of China? The charge against them is their thinking has been infected by unhealthy thoughts. Where in the world would anyone be free if a million people can be incarcerated because the government has determined that their thoughts are unhealthy? Along with re-education camps, the Strike Hard campaign has also involved high-tech surveillance and monitoring of Uyghurs, and suppressing Muslim religious practice, including funeral practices, and suppression of Uyghur language. Beyond its borders, the party has tried to intimidate Chinese Muslim minorities who are living abroad. And in China, some individuals with permanent residency status in the United States have been prohibited from leaving the region. In Xinjiang, the party has forced Uyghur families to have Han Chinese agents live in their homes. The extent of this Chinese effort to, in effect, Sinofy the Muslim population of Western China is staggering. The legislation before us is an important start, but it's only a start in our efforts to counter Chinese repression of its Muslim minorities. And we will have hearings in the Asia Subcommittee to develop additional steps that America could take. I want to highlight two parts of this legislation. First, the bill requires the president to impose the global Magnitsky sanctions against all Chinese officials who are responsible for the repression of the Uyghurs. We are long past the point when this should have been done, and it should not be linked to ongoing negotiations on trade or any other issue. Second, the bill requires the Commerce Department to update our export controls to ensure that the commerce control list, which covers dual-use items, is updated to create a special regime for China. Commerce will be required to identify items that assist in the monitoring, surveillance, mass detention, and forced labor we see going on in China today, and deny licenses for the export or re-export of those items to China. U.S. technology should not be used to further one of the most egregious human rights abuses of our time. And in writing this legislation, and the amendment in the nature of a substitute that came out of the Foreign Affairs Committee, we work diligently to ensure that we avoid capturing too much and unduly hindering legitimate and beneficial commerce. This included thorough discussions with the tech industry. So I thank Chairman Engel and Ranking Member McCall, of course, our Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, who was here. I thank Senators Rubio and Menendez, Chris Smith, and Tom Suozzi. I thank Jim McGovern for his work, and I thank my partner in running the Asia Subcommittee, Mr. Yoho, and I yield back.